For a long time, Krishna was thinking, for a long time, I have not given pure love of God to anyone. So, for a long time, I have simply appeared and performed my pastimes, but who was able to enter into these pastimes? I've given the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, but who has been able to actually live according to the Bhagavad Gita? In this way, Krishna was thinking. And Krishna was thinking, now let me come, and now let me, in the next incarnation, somehow or other, give love of God to the entire world. And thus, the Lord appeared in a golden form, in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, but how was it possible that the same people who previously, even although they had heard the knowledge of the Gita, they could not do it. Even although the Vedas had been revealed, most people were only rendering lip service. They were nicely performing the ritual, but who was actually able to really have a change of heart? Very rare. But somehow or other, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, at the time of his appearance, there was an eclipse of the full moon, and at the time, the local people, following ancient tradition, all went to the Ganga to chant the holy name of the Lord. As the Grahan, the eclipse of the moon was there, so many devotees, thousands and thousands, maybe more, hundreds and thousands, were chanting the holy name of the Lord. It was at that time that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And throughout his life, he propagated this Harinam Sankirtan, this chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Not only did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chant, he sang. He sang the holy name, and not only that, he danced. He danced with great happiness because he understood the full depth of the name. When we are hearing the name of Krishna, when we are hearing the name of Krishna, then what do we actually think when we hear the name of Krishna? Maybe we think, yes, Hindu avatar, right? Maybe we think an incarnation of Vishnu. Maybe we think the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maybe we think the most intimate manifestation of the Supreme Lord. Yes, the Lord manifests Himself in many ways. It is only days ago that we celebrated Ram Navami, the appearance of Lord Ramachandra. And although Lord Ramachandra appeared in the Treta Yuga, still we remember him today. That is, practically speaking, 1 million years ago. So who is still remembered after 1 million years? I mean, many great personalities, very famous, have been well forgotten. A few thousand years is a long time to remember someone. Sometimes a few days, you already forget. What can we say? But Lord Ramachandra is remembered. He is still remembered for all these years. So this is, why is it so? Because he was the supreme monarch, and because of his extraordinary noble activities, and his extraordinary, extraordinary activities. The whole Ramayana is one big story of how extraordinary Lord Ramachandra was. So, the supreme monarch is indeed extraordinary. So when Krishna appears again, here is the Supreme Lord performing extraordinary pastimes. Why is Krishna considered the greatest manifestation of the Supreme Lord? Lord Ramachandra came and he taught us the principles of Dharma. So what is Dharma? Dharma is prescribed behavior. Right? And this prescribed behavior of Dharma is there to regulate the lives of sinful people. If we would not be sinful, we wouldn't need Dharma. Dharma is something like being polite. Right? Why are people polite? See, well, it's a good thing people are polite. No, we are polite. We learn how to smile when we see someone and how to say nice words. Because if we would get spontaneous, we might not say something so nice. I'll give you an example. I'll have to put my tea down because I need my hands for this one. And, you know, oh, how nice that you have come. They always come around dinner time. Oh, do come in. I wonder how long they're going to stay this time. Oh, it's such a surprise. Please, come in. Have a seat, you know. I've got a plan. Yes, yes, are you comfortable? Oh, we are eating out tonight. Alright, you know. Stop with them. Right, okay. Cup of tea and, you know, thank you so much. But all this is glossed over by politeness. Because if it's better that we are polite, because the things we would say to each other if we were not polite would certainly might create the next world war. So, or at least domestic trouble. No? So, in the same way, the principles of Dharma are there to regulate the behavior of sinful people. Yes, and of course we are very piously following Dharma, that is nice, but it is because we have sinful tendencies that we need to follow this Dharma, because it is said that a person who has love for Krishna will never act sinful, or spontaneously, such a pure devotee will never act sinful, will always, because such a person is only interested in what does Krishna like. So when we are acting according to what Krishna likes, automatically no sinful activities will be there. So in this way, the pure devotees, they are beyond following the rules of Dharma. So Lord Ramachandra came out of his causeless mercy to teach the rules of Dharma to deliver the sinful activities, the sinful people from this world. Krishna came for another purpose. Krishna came to show the pastimes of the spiritual world. Whereas Lord Ramachandra was teaching us how to live in this world, Krishna was teaching us what's going on in the spiritual world. But of course, although he was showing that in his pastimes, we were not qualified to enter into the spiritual world. Then Lord Chaitanya came, and he gave the holy name. And it's that holy name that makes us qualified. And as long as we chant that holy name, and we keep on chanting the holy name, one day we'll find ourselves in the spiritual world. This holy name is unlimitedly potent. And why is it so? Because in this form, the holy name is Krishna. Krishna and his name are non-different, says the Padma Purana. Aminatvam Namina Amino. So the name of Krishna is the same as Krishna. But the name of Krishna is more merciful than Krishna. Yeah? Because the name, when Krishna gets, when we offend Krishna, when we criticize Krishna, when we say critical things of Krishna, we can be purified by chanting the name. Therefore, the name is more powerful than approaching Krishna directly. So this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not a new invention. It has been there throughout all the yugas. It was there in the Treta Yuga. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, that chanting got new life. It came to the foreground and it was chanted with great love and great enthusiasm. And not only that, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he added his special mercy. So the chanting of the name is powerful and it can produce all perfect results, but it takes time. And of course, in this age of Kali, anything that takes time, we don't like. Anything for which you have to make a long effort, we go, oh, that's too much work. Oh, can't we get it cheaper? Can't we get it quicker? Can't we get it for free? Somehow or other, that is the mentality of this age. We say, oh, pure devotional service, so nice, so nice. But you have to surrender. Oh, I don't know. I surrender. I don't know if I can do it. That's so difficult. You know, I mean, really, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita asks for so many things. No, I don't think I can do all these things. All right. Then, can't I get it for half price? You see? And a little cheaper, any discount. Right? We always want to bargain. We always want a steal. We want it for nothing. No effort. Please. Huh? I mean, alright. I'll chant Hare Krishna. No problem. Because you say, if I chant this Hare Krishna, I will get full perfection. Alright. So how many times do I have to chant? 3 times? No. 10? 100 times? No. 16 rounds minimum every day.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
What? Hare Krishna. Oof. That is a bit serious.
Okay.
So, yes, every day, 16 rounds. Oh, can't we get it cheaper? Can we get it for half price? Can we send it for 8 rounds? Alright, I'll send 8 rounds every day. Oh, 16, so many, so difficult. This bargaining mentality is so strong. But somehow or other, devotees already bargained with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada started with 64, brought it down to 32, brought it down to 25. And even then they said, oh, 25. And I said, okay, 16 no less. So that was finally the number. So where does the 64 rounds come from? In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, a book which is authorized, written by Vrindavan Thakur, there it is stated that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time came in a particular location, and there were many brahmanas who were inviting him, because it is a custom to invite sannyasis to your home and feed them as much as you can. Right? Even when they don't want more, you still give more. It's an old tradition. I know it. Anyway, so they're inviting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to their house. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I will only take the sadhana in the house of anyone who is a lakpati. Now, a lak in Hindi means 100,000. Right? Lakhpati is anybody who has 100,000. So usually the term Lakhpati was used for a rich man. 500 years ago, if you had 100,000 rupees, you were a big man. A big man. So all the brahmanas thought he was talking about a Lakhpati, about one who had 100,000 rupees. But then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I'm not talking about rupees. I'm talking about, I'll only come to the house of those who chant 100,000 names a day, which is 64 rounds. So that's where the 64 rounds came from. But when Srila Prabhupada came to the modern world and started to preach, then his disciples, they were busy, they had jobs, some were teaching in universities and so many things. And they said, how can we chant so many rounds? It's too much. So then it came down. Alright, chant 32. Oh, 32. 32 rounds. Too much. Alright, 16 rounds, no less. So, if we chant 16 rounds, we are not just chanting, but there are the blessings. The blessings of Srila Prabhupada. So that's the blessed number. That's then all the full blessings of Prabhupada are there. That's why it's important to chant 16 rounds, because in chanting we need blessings. So we can chant on our own and chant and chant and chant and chant until the cows come home and chant and chant, but it's not so easy to chant so much. Day in, day out. One day, alright. But every day. But when there are blessings of great pure devotees, then it is very quickly successful. So, in this way, the chanting of the holy name is going on. By connecting with pure devotees, by taking shelter of their direction and sort of let them guide us in our lives. And there are general instructions and personal instructions. And the pure devotees are living examples. We need living examples, otherwise how are we going to do it? When we have living examples who are doing anything wrong, maybe I should also do. Therefore we take initiation. At the time of initiation, it's all about the holy name. That's the essence of the initiation. The receiving the holy name. Chanted on beats, and we promise to chant 16 rounds and so on. But it's then, not only that in that ceremony, when we are getting initiated, that there are blessings. That is there. But there is much more. There's an ongoing relationship. And when we seek out that relationship with our spiritual master, then there will be blessings. And in that relationship, we always take the position of the servant. So we chant Hare Krishna, but at the same time, try to be the servant of the spiritual master. And in that way, the chanting of Hare Krishna becomes very potent. In that way, suddenly it becomes very meaningful. And it's no longer just repetitious. How can I just chant the same mantra all the time, says the mind. It's true. But when we are chanting and at the same time acting as the servant of the spiritual master.
In the world premiere tour of the Hare Krishna movie, Hare Krishna, the mantra, the movement, and the Swami who has done it all is now being shown at Rathi in 2018. Don't miss this phenomenal movie. The next show starts at 5:30. And there are attendants outside the cinema waiting to your tickets. So please go and book your tickets. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, it's like I love that movie. Let me say one thing. That when Srila Prabhupada was just beginning his movement in the Western world, at that time, somehow or other, there was a journalist was given an assignment to do an article on Prabhupada. So he came and he brought his camera, and he was also ready to do interviews, and he even brought a movie camera, and he started filming Prabhupada. And he became so impressed by Prabhupada that he became his disciple. And then from being a young man, now until old age, he has spent his life filming Prabhupada. And somehow or other, he has constructed that into a movie. He's done many movies about Prabhupada. But this is the mature fruit of a filmer who dedicated his life to Prabhupada, who chanted the holy name to fulfill Prabhupada's desire, who filmed Prabhupada for his whole life. And now, at the end of his life, this is the vision of Prabhupada that he presents to the world. Death, if you miss it, if you miss that, you've missed the highlight of the whole Rati Yatra. I'm definitely going to go in there if I get a little time in between. Although I've already seen it a few times, but it's something really far out. And I saw it here in Durban in the Sun Coast. It's the first time I ever went in there. I mean, some of you may be regulars, but I personally have never ever been in a casino, you know. Anyway, all these people were pulling the gambling machines on one side, but on the other side there was the cinema. And on the board it said many movies in there. Black Panther was there, and then Hare Krishna. Right? So then we went into the movie theater and all the devotees got their popcorn. I mean, I know the popcorn, so that was okay, but anyway, and then we got all the trailers of all the upcoming Bollywood movies. They go Pyar Se, so all these trailers were going on, right, of the movies. And then suddenly the movie about Prabhupada had already started. It wasn't like something clear at the beginning. No, it just sort of started. And it just started simple, and it showed Prabhupada actually be simple, and sort of in the middle of the movie it catches momentum. Little by little, more and more people come, more and more starts happening, and you start to see, my God, it's getting dynamic here, it's getting a swell, it really starts to happen. And that movie really captures it. And then, too soon, it's already 1977, the departure of Srila Prabhupada. And then what happens is, so, is this the end of the movie? And it gets sort of quiet, and suddenly it just flourishes back up, and suddenly the whole screen is full with all the achievements, different things that happened after Prabhupada left. And it shows how his movement went on after Prabhupada left. I tell you, 5:30 is the next episode of that movie. If you saw it already, see it again. If you didn't see it yet, don't miss it this time. It's worth it. Okay, that was a little commercial. The price of this product is priceless. It's priceless. So it's wonderful. Anyway, we're talking about the holy name. And Prabhupada was fully dedicated to the holy name. You must have scribbled something by now on the board. I don't know where it is. someone is sitting on it, but if you would just finish your question and then take the sheet off and then pass that sheet on to me, then I will start answering.
Well,
one thing I can tell you, the divorce can continue to go around, but I'll just take the top sheets. So one thing I can tell you is that my personal career with chanting Hare Krishna is not so extraordinary. It's not that I chanted and then I started levitating, or that I had visions of Krishna, or that everything became suddenly magic. But one thing I can tell you is that although so many things happened in my life, somehow or other, my life, always strange things happen in my life. I'll give you one story. I was in Mayapur, invited to stay up in Bhakti Churu Maharaj's quarters. Right? And Jai Bhakti Maharaj myself is staying there. So, okay, I had one of the side rooms, and I'm staying in that room, and at about 6 in the morning, there was noise as if someone with a big hammer was hitting on the wall. So I'm looking, that's like, you know, what's going on? And next moment, the wall cracks and the floor cracks. Now, I didn't know that I could fly, but I could. And I flew, and I managed to grab all my possessions and fly out of the room, all within 10 seconds. And everything, and I was out of the room. How I did, don't ask me, but I did. I was quick. And yeah, you know, strange things happened to me. So, Jai Vaishnava said, I'm not going to stay with you anymore. And you're now with me in the tent, so, you know, pray to Krishna on a Sringaday. Somehow or other, as long as you chant the holy name, you are protected. Why there is so much crime? Is there a heaven and hell? Is Krishna for certain spirits or for all? I knew Hare Krishna, what do you mean? I thank you for not forgetting Krishna. Why is there so much crime? Because people are godless. See, when we are understanding the real meaning of life, then we can see nothing in this world is just coming about by chance. We didn't come about by chance, right? All of us, we have a father and a mother, and, you know, not by chance, but by some arrangements, we are here in this world. So, like that, everything in this world is not just coming into being by chance, but all by higher arrangement. Therefore we can, but when people forget that, they become selfish. When one sees everything comes by a higher arrangement, then one may also think, what is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of God? And if you think, what is the purpose of God, then we get ready to become a servant. So I serve the greater purpose, not my own little purpose. I am trying to fill my bank account and make it big. Yes, more money. Yes, nice. No? No. Is that the purpose? I make a lot of money and then I die and then my children have a party? Is that it? Is that the goal of life? No. That is selfishness. So the goal of life is to understand that we must play our part in the whole and act for the benefit of the whole. That makes us a servant of the Supreme Lord. When we become servants of the Supreme Lord, no more crime. But as long as we are not servants of the Supreme Lord, then we are criminals. So, I'm not a servant of the Supreme Lord, but I am a respectable gentleman. Oh, yes. Yes, I wear a tie and a suit, and I speak very nicely. So, how are you calling me a criminal? Well, there was a businessman who met Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur. And Prabhupada asked him, what business are you doing? He said, I'm manufacturing glass. Prabhupada said, where are you getting the ingredients for the glass? And then said, we make glass from silicon. And Prabhupada said, okay, where do you get the silicon? He said, the silicon we get from sand. And Prabhupada said, and who supplies the sand? Because Prabhupada was a sadhu, the man gave the obvious answer, from God. Prabhupada said, yes. Then you are a thief. The man was a bit shocked. He calls me a thief. Then you are a chor. Yeah? A pakachor. Yes? So he was a pakachor. And how is it that I am a thief? And how you say I am a thief? You are saying I'm this. Yeah? I'm saying like this. Because you have taken the sand which is not yours, you change it, and then you sell it. And what if I take your car and I change the color and then I sell it? And what do you call me? Pakachola. Pakachola Swami. Like this, if you take another one's property, then you are a thief. So in this way, if you are not the servant of Krishna, we all become criminals. Is there a heaven and a hell? That is in this world. Yes, we are in this universe, there are planets in this universe. Heavenly planets, hellish planets, but nothing eternal. Hell is not eternal. Heaven, the heavenly planets are not eternal. But outside of this universe is the spiritual world. And there, the devotees of the Lord are eternally serving the Supreme Lord out of love. There, it is very blessed. Is Krishna for certain spirits or for all? Yes. There is one God. And he has many names. Like as I drove here, it said there is only one God, and he is Allah, and Muhammad is the prophet. Right? It was written on the wall. And I said, yes, that is true. There is only one God, Allah, and that is the name of Krishna. Right? So there's another name of Krishna, because God has many names. But in that manifestation of Allah, he is not manifesting himself completely. In the form of Krishna, he's manifesting more of his nature. There, Krishna means all attractive. All attractive. So Krishna is manifesting an all attractive feature. And we're all looking for what's attractive. And something, like some people, they are coming to the tent and then they walk out of the tent because they think it's not attractive. Or not attractive enough to say. But others are attracted and they walk in. So it's like that. Some attraction works like that. It makes us go here, it makes us go there. It makes things move in the world. We are attracted. The sun shines, we are, it's nice weather. And it's a weekend, we're attracted to the beach. Oh, it's Easter weekend, we are attracted. The festival is on. They come from far. We are attracted. Yes. So attraction is what moves us in this world. But what is all attractive? Have you ever found anything all attractive in this world? Of course, between husband and wife, you can't say these things. Yeah, you can't say no. But the truth is, even between two people that love each other, It's give and take. There are imperfections. It starts with romance and starry eyes, and then the next stage is reality check. And then you come with your feet on the ground, and then to make the relationship work, you have to work for it. You know? It doesn't work automatically. There's no relationship that works automatically. But if you work for it, it will work. That's how it is. So, all attractive is only found in the Supreme Lord. Therefore, yes, Krishna is for all, because he's all attractive. Hare Krishna, Krishna means the all attractive. Hara means service to Krishna, and Ram is the happiness that's the result of that service. And in that way, we have the name of the chanting of the holy name. So thank you for, someone wrote like 1, 2, 3, 4, a whole bunch of questions in one. But I've answered them all, hope it's okay. The Christians have the same philosophy. The power is in the holy name of Jesus. Similarly to what we believe, Krishna's name is powerful and merciful. Is there a difference? It's interesting that Jesus is not only known as Jesus, but that he's known as Christ. Huh? And of course, Christ is the English pronunciation, but the more interpretation from the original is more Christa, Christa. Right? The Greek is Christa. And Krishna, if you go to some villages in Rajasthan, there they will call Krishna also Krishna. Huh? Namji, Krishna to be Bhagavanta nam hai. Sahi hai. To Krishna or Krishna to dono saman. They are the same. They are just the same. Huh? They're not separate. So this is the amazing thing. So is there a connection there? It's hard to think there is not. Yes. Christ, is there a difference between Christ and Krishna? Yes, Christ is the Son of God and Krishna is the Father. Right? So the Son of God is the representative of the Father, the pure representative of the Father. And in that way, he's no different from the Father. And at the same time, he's also different from the Father. Because he's the Son. This is the interesting point about Christ, which not all Christians understand, how he's simultaneously one with the Father, because he's the pure representative of the Father, and he's also different from the Father, because he's the Son. So Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and he's performing his pleasure pastimes, and Lord Jesus Christ is always meditating on Krishna, and is always trying to fulfill the desires of Krishna. And in that way, he is no different from Krishna. Because at every moment, he is the instrument of Krishna. So this is the Trinity explained from a Krishna conscious perspective. And in that way, we can see that we have no problem with any religion which is worshipping, which is accepting one Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada was one person approached Prabhupada and said, why are you trying to convert Muslims and others to become Hindus? Prabhupada said, no, I'm not trying to convert anyone. I'm trying to teach Muslims, Christians and Hindus the real meaning of their religion. And that is really what it's all about. So in this way, no difference. In due respect to you, Swamiji, thanks for your enlightenment. Well, it's like, if you see any good qualities, think about it like this. It is the moon. The moon is shining in the sky. Right? But the moon is getting its light from the sun. Right? So if you see any enlightenment in me, then you should know I'm getting it from great pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada, whatever light is there in me, that's where it comes from. On my own, no light at all. Dark, black, a heart black by coal. But what to do? But by the mercy of pure devotees, and by trying to give my life to them, then some of their glories is reflecting of me. That's all. Chanting becomes difficult sometimes, yes? That's true. It does become difficult sometimes. But it gives such wonderful results in the end. It gives such amazing blessings. You see? So, everything gets difficult sometimes. Sitting on a chair gets difficult sometimes. Lying in bed gets difficult sometimes. Eating gets difficult sometimes. Why is not getting difficult sometimes? Everything gets difficult sometimes. But is it worth it? You know, being married gets difficult sometimes. But, it is. I was married for 24 years, and it was very nice, but difficult sometimes. Because that's the nature of anything in this world. While we are in this world, everything gets difficult sometimes, but we keep on doing it. Work gets difficult sometimes, or many times, but why you keep on doing it? Because they pay good cash. As simple as that. So, the fruits are wonderful. The fruits are desirable. The chanting is the most wonderful fruit. Therefore, even when it is difficult, we still keep on chanting. Can't just say, oh, it's so difficult to chant. No, but there's amazing fruits. So then, we must keep on chanting. So we will never stop chanting. That's for sure. What is the best way to with politics? To deal with politics. The best way to deal with politics is with politics. What's wrong with politics? I mean, everyone is doing politics. I mean, politics is a word with a bad connotation. But even children are politicians. When I was a baby, I was known that I would cry louder when my mother was in not far away, you know, to get what I wanted, in other words. So that was political crying. Yeah, it was just using the cry power to get what I want. I wasn't just an innocent baby. I was a political baby who was using this crying to get my way. Huh? Have you noticed it? Your kids, they know how to cry to get their way. That's politics. Actually, it is manipulative. It is calculating. So the little innocent darlings are actually not as innocent as they look. They know what they're doing and what they want. So everyone does. The man comes home and says, "Who is boss in this house?" His wife smiles. She knows. Then the baby cries. And both suddenly to give full attention to the child. Who's the boss in the house? You tell me. That's so simple. So, politics basically means that by some arrangements of manipulation, we're trying to get people to do what we want. Well, who is never in his life done anything like that? Me? I mean, look in the mirror and look again. Everyone. Every single one of us is a big politician. So, politics is alright as long as it's politics for Krishna. Krishna himself is also doing politics. But if you, some people like politics, some people don't like it so much.
Sure.
If you don't like, stay away from it. Keep life simple and just straightforward and honest.
Okay, you support us all the time, right?
So, can you give us a little hint at the present moment what is going on in the spiritual world and what they think about us right now? Thank you. Well, I'll tell you one thing. What's going on in the spiritual world is total ecstasy. And everyone is just fully absorbed in amazing exchanges with Krishna, and they forget everything else, and they're definitely not thinking about us in this world. That I can tell you. They really got other things to do than to think about us. But there are a few specially merciful souls in the spiritual world who are thinking about us. Like Srila Prabhupada used to say, my spiritual master has now left this world and returned to the spiritual world in his original form. And I know that my spiritual master, although he has returned to his original form, is still watching everything I do. So, there are great souls, so merciful, even although they are in the spiritual, they are watching what we are doing for the sake of bringing us out of this material world to the spiritual world. So I'm sure that Prabhupada is watching over this festival, right down from the spiritual world, looking from the spiritual world on this festival, and seeing that there is so much transcendental energy. There's the holy name, there's kirtan, there are lilas being performed of the Lord, there's this philosophical discussion, there's lots of prasada, there's all kinds of mercy. There's a movie that starts at 5:30 and the mercy is unending. So I'm quite sure that Prabhupada is smiling. He's smiling right now upon us. What is happening here in right now? Thank you. And the last question I have here, let's see, I don't see any other speakers yet. If there is, let me know. Holding, chanting, what is the significance in prescribing my number? Say it times and soon. What is my view? Chanting, forgetting the material world is more important than fixing the number. Yeah. That's true, but that you cannot do. You cannot forget the material world until you've become very advanced. And in order to become very advanced, first you have to fix a number, because in the beginning we have some reluctance. We're chanting, but we don't really want it. Later on, when we are actually able to forget the material world, then we'll get taste in the chanting. And when we get that taste in chanting, then even if we don't count, we cannot stop anymore. We just want to chant more and more. But in the beginning, if we don't count, then one day we chant, next day we don't chant, and in the end, we never chant. And therefore, it is for the beginner that the counting is important. And when you are so advanced that you no longer are caring about the material world, you can forget about it, then you can chant all the time. Then you don't need to count. Just chant. Just chant. Chant that. Who's the next? Oh, you're here? So the time has come, so the Srinivas can come in. He's not coming. He is coming. Sukadevas has come. Welcome to Sukadevas Prabhu, who is a learned speaker, especially presents the Ramayana very nicely. Not only the different pastimes, but gives like deeper insights in these pastimes. So please stay and hear from Sudha Vilas. Those who are interested in my books and CDs, I will be outside the tent and meet you there. And if you want, you can get them. We've made many this year. CDs, books, and things. We want you to take them all home. Thank you.